again. A blessing. Be in the house of the Lord again. It's a blessing that we have a desire to want to be here. For he knows for certain what we want to do and what we will do and how we do it. So we're not surprising God with nothing. For he already knows everything. And, you know, the time has come that we need to be ready.
Yes.
Because what he's seen is taking place. So just let him bless us. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 46. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we have gathered, Lord, in this place to worship one with another, Lord, and to give honor and glory unto you. Father, we ask you that you would help us, Lord, and bring unto us, Lord, things that we don't understand and don't know. Lord, let us be our hearts surrendered and not try to hide from you. God, but surrender and ask you to lead us, for we know that you will never forsake us. God, and we ask you to bless this service this morning. Father, and teach us by thy words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah.
There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God help her, and that right early. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth.
He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire.
Be still and know that I am thy God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted among the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. God bless you. May be seated.
Two of my favorite verses, that he's a present help in the time of need. So it's the great I am to help us and to know that we need to take time and be still and know that he is God. He wants to have that personal relationship with us. As Brother Bob was saying, it takes time alone with him, just you and God. Amen. Brother Thomas, would you come and take up the offering this morning?
Please bless the tithes and offerings, Brother Dale and Brother Ray, and Father David to Measures. Please bless the church purpose, death and grace, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that, of course, Sweep Over My Soul, the key of Elf there. Amen. You want the Lord's presence just to sweep over your soul this morning? I tell you, he's here to meet every need, and we say that a lot, but I tell you, it's your attitude and approach to the word. To say, Lord, I'm here, whatever you have for me, my heart is open, and he'll honor that desire. Amen. Oh, sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. Stand. Let's sing that song, Heaven's Jubilee. I tell you, are you having a jubilee in the Word? Amen. I don't know what it is. It's just the Word just keeps opening. We see how the world is and the sin is increasing. But hey, there's a jubilee in the revelation of this Word. Amen. Oh, some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air.
Oh, I'm shouting on that happy morning when we will be the quietest place we'll ever be in. And we won't be tired after we start singing and shouting like we are now as we get a little winded, as we get a little older. Not over there, brother, I'll promise you that. Nope. Oh, what singing. Oh, what shouting. Turn around and greet somebody again and say, God bless you. Don't have to go far today. We got a house full. Good to be here. Brother John, sometimes you have to just ignore some people. You got some. He's got some, too. He got some. I know that. You got to love me, right? You got to love me. You got to love me. Love you with the love of the Lord. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have everybody here. I think the only person we don't have is poor old brother. Brother Kern, you okay back there, buddy? Anybody needs to fix you like Meals on Wheels or something, or iron your clothes, or wash his wife's about 2,000 or 3,000 miles from here, and she left him. I tell the people at the post office when June takes off and goes to see her dad for a few days, I said, I got a friend that his wife just left him for an older man, and we need to feed him and wash his clothes. They don't take it that way. They said, no, we know it's you. Shut up and get to work. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Amen. All this new technology, folks, we're going to get by. I promise you one of these days we're going to get to it. I promise you. Amen. By way of announcements, real quick, we're going to have a baptismal service after the second service today. After the second service in our new baptistry in the back. We had a wonderful time. 12 people last Sunday. 12 people. And, you know, that was putting it in the ground. But now you're going to have to do what? Bring forth fruit. You're not just going to stand there and be a stick. You got to bring forth fruit. You got to grow in God. Put those old things behind and take off. Amen. So we had a wonderful time last week, all weekend. Thank everybody for participating in the youth service with Brother Diggs with us. And just pray again that we all got something out of it. And I believe we did. Thank you all for yesterday, the ones of you that went to the assisted living facility where Brother Howell was at. God bless you. We're going to show a clip of it this afternoon. Thank you, Brother Joe and Brother Boyd, for the effort that you put together. And it will be appreciated by the people there. And I know we appreciate it here. It just gives me joy in my heart that even the young people give up their part of their Saturday to come and play their instruments and sing to the glory of the Lord. Amen. So thank you all for going. We appreciate all the things that you did for us. Amen. And I'm sure they did too. Brother Luis will be speaking for us this Wednesday night. Saturday will be Bible study from 6 to 8. We will continue to be Zoom meeting also for the ones in Ohio and the ones that can't be here. I want to give Brother Richard and Brother Anderson a big hand of applause. They have done a good job downstairs to get the Zoom camera ready. And now they have the Zoom microphone on a boom back there in the middle of the room so they can all hear and we can hear each other. And they were up here working yesterday also. I thank you for putting your shoulder to the grinding mill. And remember, we're still speaking on the rapture, the millennium, and the future home. Those three things are what we're talking about in Bible study. We have a real good time. Please come if you can. On Sunday, June the 8th, which will be next Sunday, June the 6th, will be my mother's birthday, June the 5th. Why did I write that? Okay. June the 5th will be Sister Dale's 80th birthday. So we're going to have a party after the second service. As Brother Terrence was saying, we will postpone communion and foot washing to the next Sunday, which will be the 12th. Remember, on June the 18th, we'll have our Father's Day fishing trip at 8 o'clock in the morning. Through the day, we'll have hamburgers and hot dogs, and we'll be at Brother Terrence and Zach's pond over there in Banks County. We'll give you we need to get the address, Brother T, and tell them where to go. But we will have hamburgers and hot dogs. It'll be for the Father's Day. It'll be for fathers and their kids. No girls allowed. Sorry. You'll have your Mother's Day and all those other days. Sorry about that. But they kind of primed the pump yesterday. They went fishing and caught some good fish. I saw, Thomas, you caught a good one, didn't you? And Lily and Abby caught a fish. Thank goodness. Her birthday was day before yesterday, so happy birthday to her. And then Deanna's birthday, my granddaughter, will be 14 Monday. So thank God. Thank God for birthdays. Yeah. Amen. Thank God for birthdays. Also remember on June, the number gets bigger, but thank goodness for the birthdays. Brother Daniel Perry will be with us on June the 19th, which will be that same weekend. He'll be speaking for us both services. It was the brother that was here last weekend with the meeting that we had this past weekend. Also remember July the 3rd, Brother Chris Long will be here, and we'll have a meal after the second service. And just keep him in your prayers. That will be our anniversary meeting on July the 3rd. I know some of you are going to be at BYC, but that's okay. We'll have a special meeting anyway. Also, remember one more thing. In July the 22nd, we do have the church chartered, the bus chartered to get the church up there. Now, what we're going to do is, though, we're going to leave on Thursday night at 10 o'clock. Everybody with me? There's 40-something of us going, so listen to what I'm saying. We got to get them 40 people together on the same schedule. Ruth, don't smile. I know it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. So on July the 22nd, that's on Friday. Well, we're going to leave on the 21st at 10 o'clock that night. So we're going to still work on Thursday, but we're going to leave at 10 o'clock, drive through the night. They're going to change drivers, and we're going to get to Ohio about 1 o'clock Friday, and then we'll have our youth service on Saturday. And we have a nice facility there. And thank Brother Dale. This is going to be a wonderful time. They're really excited. We'll have places for you to stay. And then we will come back on Monday. It'll be about a 15-hour drive. So just, we're looking forward to it. And it'll be a charter bus, and you'll be able to sit and fellowship or sleep or do whatever you want to do while we're headed up there and heading back. We don't have to keep up with each other with vans all over the place and cars. So we can all get one bus. So if you still want to go, there's 55 seats on the bus, and I think there's 44 of us going. So there's still a little bit of time if you want to go. But please let us know. We're going to have to cut it off pretty quick because July 22nd is not far from here. Amen. So just remember that and keep all that in your prayers. And also, can be seated for a moment. Got something I want to tell you. Brother Zach, Sister Lily, come up here, please. I know you're not going to pass out because you're fine. Sister Lily's been with us for a long time, and Zach has decided to do something, finally. A little slow, but it's okay, buddy. They've announced their engagement. So they're going to be married, and Mom and Dad are in the back. That is Brother John. Am I saying right, Edie? Brother John and Sister Edie Porter, they go to Brother Shambo's church. Really good song leader and a good church. Brother Shambo, been watching some of his services. He's like me. I'm on part 38. He's on like part 80-something of Ruth. So it really doesn't bother me to be on part 38. So, but I'm not going 2.5 to 3 hours, okay? Y'all just be still. Maybe some other time. But anyway, congratulations. And may God bless you. And I want us to pray. If you don't mind, now let's stand. And I want to pray. And they've been engaged, so they are going to get married. The wedding will be later on in the year. They can announce that themselves. But we want to pray for them and their journey between now and then. I know it's going to be stressful for them to get all the, well, ladies, you know what it is. But it's going to be your day. It doesn't matter if he comes in blue jeans and a t-shirt, but it's going to be your day. And we're proud to have you here, part of our family, always. So let's bow our heads and let's all pray that everything goes well. When we get to the wedding part, all that will go well. And then the life together, we know they're going to have ups and downs because we all still do. But you know what? With the Holy Ghost, it makes them where you can work your way through them. Amen. So I believe that they're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, so they'll know how to handle some of this stuff. You got a good foundation to start with. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for our brother and sister, Lord. I pray now that, Lord, as we see this union coming together, that, Father, it'll not be just a union that man has put together, but one that God has put together. Because you said what man puts together sometimes can fail. But what God puts together, let no man break asunder. Father, be with them, Lord, and take care of them. Be with them in the process of getting a home and getting started with the wedding and all the things of life. Lord, we pray that you'd be with them and it'll go smoothly. Bless Brother John and Sister Edie, Lord, as we now, there's two families, Brother Bob and Sister Monica, bringing them together, Lord, as families. We're all still the family of Jesus Christ. We're the bride. But now we're bringing natural families together, Lord, and we pray that you would protect them, Lord. Keep your mighty hand upon them, Lord, and bless them, Lord, through this journey to the day of the wedding. And then after that, Lord, may they just live in bliss, Father. May they live, number one, for you, and number two, then for each other. Father, just bless them. Take care of them. Be with them this day in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Proud to know you, man. Proud to know you both. Amen. All right, let's read the scripture. We're going to preach here in just a minute. Let's go to John 1:1. Like I said, we're on part 38 of Who is this Son of Man? We know that. We know who that is. It's God made flesh. But it wasn't God made flesh just 2,000 years ago. It wasn't God made flesh 60 years ago in a prophet. It was God made flesh in you. And the Word was made flesh. So let's go to John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And what happened? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. We appreciate the time we have, Lord, with this group of people. Lord, I pray that you bind us together closer to you, Lord. As Brother Aaron was talking about bitterness on Wednesday night, Lord. Don't ever let that root of bitterness come in, Lord. Cut that thing off, Lord, as we bind closer and closer together, that we, as we see the union of Sister Lily and Brother Zach, Lord, we pray that they'll bind closer together. Each one of us, too, as husband and wife and parents and all, we should bind together, Lord, to defeat this devil. As I've always said, I want the devil to be uncomfortable in this place and the Holy Ghost to be so comfortable that he just breaks out into shouting and screaming, Lord. Praise God for that. We have an opportunity today, Lord, to hear from you. Now, Father, I pray that you would do the speaking, that they would do the hearing, Lord, and that you would give the revelation. We give this all to you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. So we get started a little bit to background some. We'll go to Romans 10, verse 8. I want to read a little quote. You know, they send the quote of the day from the voice of God, but I like this one. This is from the Intervale. They don't have it, so I'm just going to read it to you. But Brother Ram says, look, I may not be a good preacher, but I know what I'm talking about. He said, friends, I know that a man without the new birth is alien from God. Amen. He knows not of God. I know you got to accept that experience if you're ever going to heaven. Wow. If he doesn't have that experience, he will in no wise enter the kingdom. The prophet of God said, no matter how good you've been, how well you treat your neighbor, how well you went to church, how you supported it, that's all good. That has nothing to do with it. Except a man be born again, listen to this, a mysterious birth that sends you out yonder into a sphere. Now, he just told us that we were, if we were not born again, we were aliens to God. But now once you get born again, he's fixing to tell you you're going to be an alien. Everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet? I just wanted to make sure we got the right crowd here today. A mysterious birth that sends you out yonder into a sphere that you know nothing of when you're an alien. Though you go to church and try to do right, still that isn't in it, friend. Are you born again? These questions there. Are you born again? Washed in the blood of the Lamb? You will become an alien. You'll become an alien to this world.
Yes, sir.
All of you that were baptized Sunday, something was planted. Now let's see it grow. Amen? Let's see it in your works. Let's see it. You say, oh, brother, wait, it's not words. No, it is after you get born again. You got something to do. As we've been talking about the Son of Man. He didn't just become a baby and then he went and died at Calvary. He had a journey. He lived through life just like me and you. God in human flesh. Well, what are we today by the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You and I are God in human flesh. Amen? But a mysterious birth. The world don't understand. When you say born again, that's like Nicodemus. They say, why? How in the world am I going to have to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, nope, got to be born from above. So those of you that were baptized, you're on a good start. Seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you don't have it. Pray to God that you grow. And you know what a plant is supposed to do? It's supposed to produce fruit. I planted a garden the other day, and I've got corn up about this high. I want some fruit off of that. Well, what's going to happen? I'm going to have to give it some water. I'm going to have to get a little bit of fertilizer. And I'm going to have to cultivate it a little bit. So once we do that, and God sends the rain, and we give the nutrients to it, guess what? About the end of July, 1st of August, I'm going to have some ear corn, and we're going to be able to eat that. So that's what I want with God. I want us to be where we can eat that fruit. Everybody can enjoy the fruit. And everybody can enjoy the presence of God. We should long for the presence of God more than anything. We love each other, but we love the presence of God. And the quietness of the prayer time and the quietness of reading your Bible and the quietness in the morning. We were talking about something yesterday, and where were we at? We were at Josh's in-laws. I said, the best cup of coffee is a quiet cup of coffee. Amen? The best cup of coffee is a quiet cup of coffee. You get quiet in the morning, you get that cup of coffee, and that's the most important cup of coffee because you're talking to God or you're reading your Bible or something going on. That's quiet coffee is what I like. Now, it's time to be shouting over Sprite and Diet Coke and all whatever, ginger ale, whatever you want to drink. But I want that quiet coffee in the morning so that we can talk to God. Romans 10, verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you should confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We've been talking, like I said, 38 sermons on the Son of Man. And Brother John, we're still down at faith on the bottom of the pyramid. And I want to tell y'all something. Y'all think I use a lot of charts? Y'all think I draw on a whiteboard? Go to Spoken Word Tabernacle. Amen. Go to Spoken Word Tabernacle. Look up Stephen Chambo. Right. He's got a double whiteboard. Right, Brother John? Four-sided. That's right, because he flips them over. He's got a thing right here, and it's four-sided. An hour for each side. But it's full by the time it's finished. It's a beautiful picture. So we're going to, well, I'm scaring them. I don't want to scare the people. But they don't have a second service. We do. So we kind of timely, we got to stop and then start over again. So, but Brother Stevens, I've never met the brother, but he's a good teacher. He's a good teacher if you want to ever watch him online. It's Stephen Chambers. Spoken Word Tabernacle, right? Tabernacle? Yeah, Tabernacle. Okay. Almost like Spoken Word Church. But we've been doing this for 50 years, so we got dibs on the, we own the domain. You can't ever be a Spoken Word Church part two. But we know that we've been, we have fun down here, Brother John. But we know that we're predestinated to adoption. We're not just predestinated to get born again. And that's what we've been trying to stay down at the bottom of the pyramid. But we got to go somewhere. We've got a job. We've got to, as Brother Bob was talking about, we've got to come under this Son of Man revelation. And we know that Brother Branham will read the, well, we're not going to read the quote. I took it out. But you ought to know that Brother Branham said, your birth is not your adoption. Two different things. Amen? You can't be adopted without being born again, but you can be born again and not be adopted. Because we're going to talk about it this afternoon. We're going to bring some quotes where Brother Branham talks about doors and doors. Where even when God comes into your house, there's still doors there. And that's what these virtues are for. You say, well, God, I don't want you behind that door. And as many times, Brother John, I told him, I said, if I was the Holy Ghost, I'd be knocking it down. But Brother Branham said, God, the Holy Ghost was a timid God. If you don't let him in, he ain't going to knock the door. He's standing at the door knocking. Me and you, we would have the battle axe, and we'd have everything we needed to knock that door down and find out what's going on. But remember, patience. We're going to talk about those virtues if we ever get to it. But it's not your birth. So let's look at the first chart if y'all want to bring the one up that we've been using. But we know that adoption is in three stages. Brother Dale's preached on this many, many, many times, so we're just kind of redoing it again and preaching it, Lord, in our revelation, which is exactly like his. Not that one. The first one. I'm sorry. I told him to get that one, but we're going to talk about that one in a minute. But bring the first one up. That's the statue of a perfect man that has the justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, brothers. That's my fault. But in this three stages of adoption, what's the first stage? You've got to be born again. You've got to get into the family of God. Amen. Israel was in the family of God before their journey. They were born the family of God. They were Israel. They were God's chosen people. So they were not in their wilderness journey. They didn't become Jews. They didn't become Israel. They were the children of Israel. Amen. Before their journey, they were the children of Israel. So, but in this, we believe, as Brother Brown did in dispensations, we believe in God in stepping stones. They'll find it in a minute. That's cute. They'll find it in a minute. We say pretty. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So now we're going to start at the new birth, and when they find that other picture, they can get it up there for me in just a minute. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption, not adoption. The spirit of adoption, where you cry, Daddy, Daddy, I'm in my crying stage. I'm still in diapers. But you know, even when you're born natural birth, you're born what? Body, spirit, and soul. Amen? But can you drive a car just as soon as you're born? No way. But you have every faculty. Your hands, you don't grow eyes, you don't grow toes, you don't grow feet. You've got all that. So Brother Brown tells us, at the new birth, you get everything you need for your journey. All right, well now you can either put it on a shelf and leave it there and let it rot, or you can use it. By reason of use. By exercising. Our faith. There we go. So that's the chart we've been using. And I believe Brother Bob did that. And we kind of just tweaked it a little. But you don't get into the body of Christ until you get to the new birth. There is no way you can get the virtue of God without having the new birth. Amen. Now you can have natural virtue. You can have natural knowledge. Natural. Listen, Satan's got natural knowledge.
That's right.
The devil himself has got so much knowledge. I'll read it to you in just a minute. Judas was in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Wow. Brother Brown said he was justified and sanctified. Wow. The devil himself. Anointed ones, as Brother Bob was talking about. See, anointed ones, it's like we're going to read the quote later on this afternoon, that without these virtues, you're a stumbling block to the believer. Because what you're doing is everybody wants to jump all the way up here and say, well, we're in this right here. Not yet, you're not. You're in the Laodicean church age, but you're not at brotherly kindness as soon as you get born again. I'll promise you that. Amen. And you should know that through your journey, you should know where you're at any time, is what the prophet of God said. But we're going to talk today about what we call, Brother John, is baby form justification. Because baby form justification is you get your sins chopped off, but you still sin. You still sin. You're still a sinner. You're not even the body of Christ, even in sanctification. That's what we've been talking about. Everybody says, well, how do you know you're born again? I know Brother Bob covered it this morning, but how do you know you're born again? Well, I quit drinking, I quit smoking, I quit gambling. I started going to church, and I started believing the message. Oh, you can't leave that one out. Listen, the devil comes to church more than y'all do. He believes the message, part of it. And he believes part of the word. Because he wants to be like God. He wants to have his own word. Right? So close. That's what it is. It's so close, it'll deceive the very elect if it were possible. But if you ever get born again and sealed in, you can't stay deceived. You might be deceived, but you can't stay deceived. Amen? But you've received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Daddy, Daddy, or Father, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You're not the children of God because you quit drinking, smoking, cussing, and what I call is a laundry list. Do's and don'ts.
That's right.
That just means you're a good person, or you've Alcoholics Anonymous, or whatever you want to call it. You know, I just quit. I quit doing things sometimes. When I was a sinner, I'd quit doing stuff. Did that mean I was born again? No. No, I didn't care anything about God. I'm sorry, I didn't. Oh, y'all did. Oh, okay. Still believe Brother Brown was a prophet, right? Believe his teaching? Well, I guess some of you do. No, some of you didn't raise your hand. There's another church right over there if you need to go. But justification, baby form justification, is you get your sins chopped off. It's put in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. And you are on your way to the kingdom. Because it is a work of the Holy Ghost. But you and I can get off that train anytime we want to. Because you're a free moral agent. Oh no, I got this. Hello. We'll get to that in a little bit. So justification chops off your past sins. God puts it in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. But you and I still remember, and you and I still have that, as Brother Brown calls, as Brother Aaron was talking about, that root of bitterness is still there. You still have a soul that is black. Everybody with me? But now when we become the children of God, we become heirs and joint heirs. So we get whatever Christ gets, that's what we get. Only if you're born again. Only you have went through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So let's go to justification, what we're talking about here. It says, look, but what saith that the word is nigh thee, even thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach. That's what we were talking about just a second ago. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. God knows if you're sorry for what you did. You know, you've heard the old phrase, you find Jesus in jail. You believe in Jesus because you got caught. Yeah, that ain't justification. No, you're trying to justify yourself. I want the justifier, the one that don't have it to begin with. I want him to start cleaning me up. I want him to justify me. I don't want to justify myself. A lot of the problem is we justify ourselves. For with the heart we believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what you do when you first start, as we were talking about last week in the baptismal service. A lot of people just get baptized because their buddy gets baptized, or they feel like they need to get baptized again. But Peter said, repent. Repent and be baptized. That's our problem. We missed that step of justification. Repent and then go to the water, and then let us kill you. We're going to a funeral today, right? Somebody is going to die if you'll let it. The old you is going to pass away. Behold, all things are going to become new. Or the Bible tells us in Romans, in newness of life. So we're going to come up in newness of life and leave that old stuff in that water. Amen? Romans 3 verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Listen, baby form justification is absolutely a part of your redemption. Because you got to get your sins chopped off. You got to give God something to start working on.
Amen.
Amen. Whom God has sent forth to be a perpetuation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. Look, and I believe this is where Brother Branham, I know he's a prophet and he got revelation, but where did he get it from? He got it from the Bible.
Amen.
He got it from the Bible. Brother Branham says you get your past sins chopped off. I've heard preachers pray in this message, Lord, forgive me for my future sins. That's a bunch of bull. That's Catholicism. It says right here, righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. You got to do it first. Through the forbearance, thank the Lord, of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, not yours, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay. But by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude. I like Paul. Paul brings you something. He'll bring you scripture. He'll bring you a whole chapter. And then all of a sudden he'll say, in conclusion, this is what I was talking about. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. God, forgive me. But now remember, the next justification, when we get into the body of Christ, we don't throw justification away. We have to continue on with that justification. God, forgive me of my sins. I ask Him every day to forgive me of my sins. Christians are the only ones that have sins. If we'd realized we were sinners first, and that we still have sins in our second realm. If you're born again, you don't sin in your soul. You know that. But we got memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination that we have to deal with. Memory is what kills me. My reasoning. My consciousness of this world. My imagination. God don't imagine. So where does that come from? That comes from the devil. God doesn't imagine. When God thinks it, it happens. He don't imagine something happening. He's already seen it happen. So that's what we've got to get to. We've got to get to that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. Not sick. Did you see Jesus get crucified? Did you see Him resurrect? But I sure believe it. And I sure know that that one that did it's inside of me. That way I know that I can really believe it. Not just that He did it 2,000 years ago, but He's still doing it now. So now let's go to sanctification. See, this is where that sometimes without good teaching, that's what I said before. Brother Dale, when he first came in the message in 1968, what did they ask him? He's told you 100 times. Well, Brother Dale, I know you got born again because you came out of the Baptist church and now you're in the message. Right, Pop? He said, I was not. He said, I was 2 years seeking the Holy Ghost. He ought to know. 2 years seeking the Holy Ghost before he got born again. So he went through the 2 years of the message of learning and studying and praying before God gave him the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So don't tell me that you just got it because you're sitting in church today. Or you just got it because you don't wear pants or you don't cut your hair. That's do's and don'ts. But sanctification should get that unclean spirit out of you. Not at the new birth. At sanctification, all those things should go out of you. See, that's a dangerous part. When we look at that, we see that the devil can tell you at sanctification, oh, you're fine, you're born again, you're going to church, aren't you? You believe the message of the hour, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. What did Bob say this morning? One identification, the greatest one, is that this message of this hour is revealed to you over and over and over again. And you don't just sit here with a bewildered look on your face. No, you're getting something. Limbs are growing. Leaves are growing. Fruit's growing. Something's happening. And I believe we're in a stage where something's happening now. Something's happening to all of us. The ones that's coming in, the ones that's being baptized, rebaptized. We've rededicated our life. That's what I told you first of the year. I said, whatever you got, let it out. Whether it be good, bad, or indifferent, let it out. My old football coach said, what? Lead, follow, or get out of the way. And that's the way I look at it. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. And don't stand in somebody's way. Please don't let us stand in anybody's way. Matthew 12, verse 43 says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, what? All that junk that you used to do? And it didn't leave of its own accord? It's just like I said about the ark. There was a lot of claw marks on that ark when God shut the door. Same way with them evil spirits. Oh, it just fell out of me, and I'm just, yeah, right. No, I fought mine. And there were some scratch marks going out the door as he went out. He didn't want to leave. But I did go through a stage of sanctification where I was cleaned out. The snuff box did go out the door. The cursing did go out the door. The whatever I was doing went out the door at sanctification, but I had been taught well by Brother Dale because I could have come in and sat there and said, well, that's my birth. That was not my birth. I still was confused on matters and confused on certain things that I was reading in the message of the hour. But when God gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Brother John, all that pieces come together. And God started building a man, a stature of a perfect man. So, oh, that's just for the preachers. Now it's for the kids. It's for the young ladies. It's for the young men. It's for all of you to come to this. And listen, it'll make your life better. What we read in 2 Peter, it's life and godliness. godliness. It's telling you how to live your life and live it godly. Listen, folks, we're going to have problems. The Holy Ghost will not take all your problems away, but it will help you get through them. Amen? And you'll be better on the other side. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he said, I will return where? Into my house. He still got possession of it. Read your Bible. Into my house from whence I came out. This is an evil spirit talking. I'm comfortable in that house right there. But something has made me uncomfortable. Something has thrown me out. And I look, though he's come back, and he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. You start going to church. I'll read to you in just a few minutes. He goeth and taketh what? He's going to bring seven of his buddies. And he's not going. You're not going to be a seven time more drunk. He's going to put you in church. He's going to bring seven religious demons with him. And they're going to put you in a message church. And you're going to sit there and say, I'm fine. Listen. Brother Dale's 82 years old. He's been in this message for 60 something years. I don't believe there's a day he woke up and said, I'm fine. Right, Pop? I'm fine. No! It's a struggle! It's a battle! Listen, we'll talk about it tonight or this afternoon. Even when Joshua placed them in the promised land, there was bloodshed. There was battles. There was heartaches. In the promised land. In this adoption stage. So get ready, Brother Bram said. He's going to turn every gun, Satan is. Because he wants his house back. Because remember, Brother Bram said he's got dibs on you because you were born in sin, shape in iniquity. Okay? And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. 2 Timothy 2 verse 19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earth, some of honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself, remember, clean and set aside for service. You're not in service yet. You're in line for adoption, but you're not even in the family yet. All right? If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. What? He made a choice. We have a choice. Satan had a choice. The angels had a choice. Abel had a choice. Cain had a choice. Adam had a choice. Eve had a choice. If the devil himself had a choice, so do you. God made a choice. God chose us. He didn't choose to stay by himself. He chose to have a many-member body, a bride. Hallelujah. And meet for the what? Master's use. Yes. And prepared unto every good work. That's sanctification. That's not the new birth. It's heading you toward that. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. But remember, that thing's not sealed yet. Whatever was inside can get back in. You got to what? You got to seal it. And then what? Then what's good to seal this? Well, brother, I got this water sealed. It can't get out. I want to drink this. So God's going to break the seal. Remember the boxcar Brother Brown talks about? When I watched inside that boxcar, junk? No. He said goods. In other words, a boxcar full of say, chicken. This is chicken country. But what's a boxcar full of chicken going to do you? If it stays in a boxcar. Right. Amen? But it's sealed. But in that journey somewhere, that seal's going to have to be broke. And then what's inside's going to have to come out. That's what I said before. Whatever you got inside of you, let it out. Good, bad, or indifferent. So now watch. Judas Iscariot was justified by faith. Oh, my Lord. And believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was baptized. Everybody still believe Brother Brown was a prophet? I hadn't moved. We're still here. Okay. All right. Thank you. And believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was baptized. And the Bible said Jesus baptized the disciples, his disciples. All right. So before he could send them out, he said, sanctify them, Father. So now we're at sanctification. But now remember, it can't be the sanctification right here that he puts you ready in service in the body. He's still down here. You're not in the body of Christ yet. Everybody with me? All right. What's that thing Brother Stephen says all the time? He'll say something to the congregation. He'll say, you know, are you with me? Or he'll say, are you hearing me or something? It's cute. I like it. You have to get them every once in a while to get their attention back. Sanctify them, Father, through the truth. Thy word. We have to get them before they go to the land of Nod. You'll get that in a minute. Thy word is truth. And he was the word, even before the atonement was made. And what's the atonement? The Holy Ghost. Before the atonement was made, in other words, as a preview, Father, of my shed blood, I sanctify these. He gave them power against the unclean spirits. They went out and they cast out devils, is that right? They healed the sick. They came back sanctified, rejoicing, jumping, shouting, and praising God. Doesn't that sound like a good message meeting? And said, even the devils is subject to us. And Jesus said, don't you rejoice because the devils are subject to you. But rejoice because your names are written in the book of heaven. Is that right? And Judas Iscariot was with them. One of them, I'm one of them. See, Judas can sing that same song. One of them, I'm one of them. Yeah, he was one of them, all right. But he fooled everybody. Listen to me. This is the point I want to make. He fooled everybody but the Son of Man. And that's what we're trying to get to. We get to the message of the Son of Man. Not the Son of God, to the Son of Man. I'm sorry. To the Son of Man. Everybody with me? The Son of Man is the only one that knew where Satan was. All the other church ages were just scrambling around trying to figure out what's going on. And right up to the crucifixion, they was like, well, Judas is a good guy. Judas has been in message for 30 years. He was called just like we were. We've seen it happen before. Brother John's seen it himself personally. Walk through life and think these people are saints of God. And called out, sanctified. And his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But remember, it wasn't written in the eternal section. Because his name was erased. Said, read Matthew 10 and see if that's not right. He called each one of them and Judas and every one of them right down there. He sent them out and gave them power against unclean spirits. Jesus knew who he was and still sanctified him. But he didn't go to Pentecost. That's his problem. He did not go to Pentecost. So let's read this next one from A Hidden Life. I love this little sermon here. How the thing was refreshing in the presence. Notice another thing. Once in the presence of God. Hold on a minute. Brother Branham. Once in the presence of God. We're supposed to be shouting and speaking in tongues. And we still believe one more time. Is everybody all right? Brother Branham was a prophet. We believe what he said. You get quieted. Because if you don't know what you're shouting about first, you're just shouting out, like Brother Bram said, you're just tooting your whistle. But if you get quieted first, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I have the new birth, and that's why I'm shouting. Not I'm shouting because everybody else is shouting. Not shouting because of that anointing, as Brother Rob was talking about. It's not a false anointing. Listen, it's not a false Holy Ghost. It's the true Holy Ghost on a false believer. That's the problem that we see anointing ones at the end time. It's a true Holy Ghost anointing someone that's black in their soul because they hadn't been taught right. They think they're fine. They think everything's all right. And they're not. Once in the presence of God, you get quieted. You're not tossed about by everything. You know where you're standing. There's something happens. You know that you've been in contact with somebody that loves you. Wow. You know that something's happened down here, and it's refreshing. And not only that, but you will refresh others. Why? Since I got the new birth, by the way, people can't stand to be around me. You need to get the new birth. You don't need just an anointing. You need to get the new birth. Amen? I know some of y'all can't stand to be around me, but that's your fault. Quit clapping. Yeah, I know. It keeps you from sleeping. I know that. You've seen people that was nice people, but you just couldn't hardly stand to be around them? Yeah. There's something about them. They got a creative power around them that just seems to be different. How I'd like to stop here, if it was possible, and tell you something on that. You're a little creator yourself. Wow. Now, this is why I brought this in, because he's talking about sanctification. He's over there in the Old Testament talking about the new spirit and the stony heart and the heart of flesh. Because everybody thinks they get the new birth, and they're not. They just get a new spirit. Watch. He said he'd give you a new spirit. Now, that spirit isn't God's spirit.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
He's quoting the Bible. I can't remember the word. Ezekiel, I think it is. Thank you. And that spirit isn't God's spirit. Now listen, what is the Holy Ghost? That's God's spirit. The Holy Ghost is God's spirit inside of you. That's the new birth. So he's not talking about that. He said that spirit isn't God's spirit. That's your spirit. Everybody still with me? Still believe, Brother Branham? Okay. All right. Don't leave. God gives you a new spirit, then he says, I'll put my spirit in him. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit, make your nature a little more gentle. And what? Settle down. You see people that's tossed about. I've said before, we all got a boat. We're all a big boat. But what runs the boat? That one rudder in the bottom of that boat that's only about this big. That boat can be as big as this room. And that rudder about that big and about that long. If it's not on that, every wind is going to blow you this way. And that other wind is going to blow you that way. Going to blow you to that church and going to blow you. I'll get off of that. But anyway, so God gives you a spiritual rudder. That when that wind blows, you can turn. It doesn't matter if it turns the ship. I was telling you before, we were flying into Canada to bear hunt. Me and Dad were, and we were on a puddle jumper. And I couldn't see the runway, Brother John. All I saw was trees. We were coming in sideways. The wind was like 40 miles an hour crosswind. I was looking out the side window, and I said, that's the runway. I was looking at the pilot over here. Because it was one of those puddle jumpers that didn't have the doors. You could see the pilot. But what happened was they had a rudder. They had a tail rudder, and they had a rudder on the wing. So what happened, right as soon as we got close to that, they turned that rudder. When they did, we sat right down on the runway just like we were supposed to. That's the same way with God. We have a spiritual rudder now that gives us what? It gives us purpose. When we turn that thing, it's because the wind's blowing this way. If we turn it back this way, because the wind's blowing this way. So he had to get you fixed up first before he can come in you. Wow. No, I just got... It's okay. You might have got it all at one time. That's all right. Show me the fruits. Don't lay out of church and be at 6 weeks and be gone and be done this and can't do this and can't do that and don't live for God. You didn't get it. Let's just really be honest with each other. If you got the Holy Ghost, you'll be in church. Well, I got that. No, God didn't ask about no stipulations. So he has to get you fixed up first before he can come in. I'll give you a new spirit. Then you take him anywhere. You go all kinds of places. What? You don't go to the bar rooms anymore. You don't go to the honky-tonk. You don't go to this place and that place. You go to a different place. You go all kinds of places. He's got to get you fixed so he can what? So you can entertain him right. So that's when you're on the first altar. You're not born again yet. But when you hide away and get his spirit, then the Holy Spirit, none other than God himself, comes and dwells in you. And that's right here. That's at the new birth, at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's at faith to put you in the body, that he can put you in service. You're not in service yet without the Holy Ghost. And then there's something about you. The neighbor loves you. The people likes you. Let's read 1 Peter 1, verse 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through what? Sanctification of the Spirit. What is sanctification? Clean and set aside for service. So you're cleaned up. God gives you a new spirit. He gives you a heart of flesh, but he doesn't put his spirit in yet. Hello, somebody. He's waiting to see what you're going to do. You say, by the way, God already knows what. Yeah, he knows what you're going to do, but you don't. Unto obedience, where does obedience come in? Why, when I get the Holy Ghost, I'm just... No, at sanctification, you need to start being a bit obedient. According to Peter, he ought to know. He was not very obedient until he got the Holy Ghost. He was cutting ears off, cursing God, running away from God, going fishing. Right? But when he got the Holy Ghost, what was he? First one out. First one out the door. And the first one to tell us we needed these virtues. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Brother Branham says on the intervale, God prophesied through the prophet and said, I will write my laws in their heart, where I put them in the tables of their heart, showing that that would be the dwelling place of God in the human heart, not the human head. Everybody with me on that? Human heart, not this thing is thumping right here. It's the heart of you, the core of you, what you think. It's your attitude, your aptitude, your altitude. Amen. I will write them in my heart and in their heart, and they'll keep my statutes and so forth, saith the Lord. God said in another place over in Ezekiel, said, I will in that day take out your old fleshly, stony heart, and I'll give you a new spirit, and I'll put my spirit in you. Now, a lot of people, even you Pentecostal people, a lot of times get mistaken in that. Have we got some Pentecostal ideas in here today? Let me just ask you that question. Even you Pentecostal people, a lot of times got mistaken on that. You get a new spirit. That's not God's spirit. Amen. That's you. That isn't God. You get a little happy because you got a new spirit and you jump up and down, run around the floor maybe. Shout a little bit, speak with tongues, run around a little bit and think you got the Holy Ghost. That's not it. That's not it. Amen. That's a new spirit God gave you. That's you. Then after he gives you your spirit, then he said, I'll put my spirit. That's what's the matter with missed meal cramps you get today. Wow. That's the reason you can't get nowhere with God. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get somewhere with God. Amen. We're not trying to get somewhere with the world. Amen. We're trying to get somewhere with God. You see people out there in the world trying to build their own kingdom. That's in their mind. That's what they want. They want all the money they can get, all the power, all the authority. All the rulership. They're going to hell if they don't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And on the day of judgment, they're not going to stand any taller than the next person. Notice, you put a new spirit. God has to give you a new spirit, or you couldn't even get along with him. You can't get along with yourself. That old devil spirit you had in you. Preach it, Brother Branham. I'm going to say it. So he's got to put a new spirit in you so you can get along with his spirit. Amen. I'll put a new spirit in them, and I will put my spirit in them. And he said, after he gives you a new spirit, after he's given you a new spirit, that's you. Don't get it confused with God's spirit. It's not. It's your new spirit, so you can get along with the Holy Ghost, if he ever gives it to you. I like that. If he ever gives it to you. Oh, Brother Wade, I was this before the foundation of the world. Yeah, in the mind of God, you were. In the mind of God, you were an eternal seed, but down here, you were not. You were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. The things I did, God was not in my body when I was doing those things I was doing. If everybody's okay with that, can we say amen? Amen. Amen. I knew I was lost. I had a seed of representation. I knew when the word came to me that I would respond, and God knew that. But you know what? It was because I made a choice. As long as you'll preach that seed with a choice, I'll agree with you. But you preach that seed with no choice, you're wrong. And I will put my spirit in them. And he said, after he give you a new spirit, that's you. Why would he give you all this stuff if you already had it? It's not. It's your new spirit. So you can get along with the Holy Spirit if he ever gives it to you. Amen. Because you and your condition never get along. Amen. You can't get along with your wife. How many people can say amen to that? Please don't say amen. Y'all are not supposed to do that. Your wife's, most of them, sitting right here. I can get along with mine. She might not get along with me, but I sure can get along with mine. I can't get along without mine. Leave me for an older man. Her daddy. Let me make that clear. Her father. You can't get along with your husband. Can't get along with your neighbor. How are you ever going to get along with God? So he has to give you a new spirit before you can get along with him. So he puts a new spirit in you, and then he puts his spirit in you. Gives you a new spirit, a new outlook, a new faith. Then he puts his Holy Spirit in you. That's what we're going to talk about just for a few minutes. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want us to, every person, I think it was maybe St. Martin, the one that didn't rest until he knew everybody in his congregation had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, we got a pretty good sized congregation, but I sure want every one of you to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want you to have the new birth, not on your spirit. I want you to have it in your soul. so that you can respond to God. Amen. That's my plea every time before I walk out that door. 1 Peter 1, verse 42 says, seeing you have purified your souls. Now, you can't do it, but God can.
Yes, sir.
When he puts his soul inside of you,
yes,
that's God's soul.
Amen.
Perfect.
Yes,
eternal.
Amen.
Can't sin.
Yes.
That's what God's looking at.
Amen.
Let's get right with this thing. That's what God's looking at. He's looking at that. He took his soul and put it inside of you.
Yes.
Not a second person. Not a third person. I've said before, we got to start realizing that we're not part of God. Brother John's got that furrow in his head. Most people do that when I say that. We're not a second person. God is God. Satan wants to be like him. Satan wants to be him. And without the new birth, you and I can't be God. But we're not a second person. Jesus prayed in St. John 17. He said, God, he said, Father, I pray that they and me be one. As the Father and I are one. How many were they? One. I don't want to be like God. I want to be God.
Amen.
By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, my soul is God. Because if there's any part of you left in there, it's not done. The work is not finished. Because he's going to judge your soul. He's not going to judge your spirit. He's going to judge your soul. He's going to get right down in that center person. And if there's anybody in there besides God, Brother John, you're going to have to give account for your works. Please don't let me have to give account for my works. Let me go up there and say, oh, I took you, Lord. Whatever he done, put it on him. Didn't Jesus say, cast your burdens on me? Give it to me? That's the problem. We give it to him and go, like I said before, we go fishing in the sea of forgetfulness. Put a no fishing sign there and leave it alone. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently.
Amen.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed. If you always was eternal, why'd you need to be born again? Listen, folks, we were born wrong. We had an Adamic nature. We had a satanic nature. If you don't get rid of that, it becomes you. And you vulcanize with Satan, just like Brother Brown said, we vulcanize with God when we get the new birth. When we get the new birth, we vulcanize with God. Now, when you vulcanize something, I know Brother John's about, he's a little younger than I am, but I can remember putting patches on tires, especially my bicycle, because we was poor folks back then. And we had to patch our patches. But what'd you do? You heat it up. You didn't go find a piece of wood or a feather. You got another piece of what? Rubber. You got a piece of God. And you took that and by the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. You had to put the fire to it. Oh, you put the glue on there. You know, if you slap that patch on there, you pump, 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 pump. And here's this big old ball like a balloon pops up. Why? You didn't vulcanize it. We got to vulcanize with God. That's why I said we can't be. We lean on the oneness that they're on this side, and we lean on the Trinitarians, and we become the worst two-ness that ever was. It's me and God. No, it's God. He decided you were going to be him. He decided you were going to do these things, and he wrote it in his Bible. But you have to start as a child of God, just like each one of you had to start. You have all your faculties, everything you need, except what? Except your growth. Except your development of your intelligence.
Yes.
Then you can drive a car. Abby's 15 now. Bless everybody's heart in Banks County. But she's going to be able to drive because what? The law of the land says that she has come. We're not even going to talk about my grandbaby. The law says that she has come to a place of maturity that now she can go to the next step and they give her a certificate. If she passes the test. Always is a test. Always. To have a testimony, you got to have a test first. Because one day what she's going to do is she's going to say, I got my license. Well, that's a testimony to her test. And then her mom and daddy's going to have a real test. They did buy her a Hummer, though, so that's good. Either that or a tank. They couldn't find an army tank, so they got a Hummer. Just don't hit anybody else. But being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by what? By the word of God. You're not born again because your mama got born again, or your daddy got born again, or your pastor got born again. You're born again by the incorruptible word of God. You have to hear the word of God. Why does the seed have to come through the body? Why did Paul have to go? Why did he have to go and find Ananias? I just got knocked off my horse and I believe this message. No, that ain't what happened. Paul actually got physically blinded and had to be led to the life. I said life. He saw the light. But he had to be led to the life. Ananias, pray for this guy. Lord, you really? He's killing us. Oh, I got to work for him. Don't you worry about it. Why? God was talking to one of his kids. He was talking to his child, Ananias. And Paul was getting ready to come into the body. Everybody with me? For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, just like our flesh. But the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word by the gospel that is preached unto you. Ephesians 1 verse 10. So that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. In other words, he's there and here. Even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Remember I told you before, Brother Bram told us, he said Jesus didn't come to bring us an inheritance. Think about that. Because that's where they all get the furrow in their eyes if they hadn't heard it before. Brother Bram tells us in the adoption series. He said, Jesus didn't come to bring you an inheritance. He said, beg your pardon. Right. Jesus didn't come to bring you an inheritance. Right. Your inheritance was before the foundation of the world. He just came here to get you a way back to it. Right. Jesus never gave us an inheritance. We already had an inheritance. Right. In the mind of God. Right. Before the foundation of the world. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom you also trusted, look, after. After you heard the word of truth. You didn't trust him before you heard the word. You trusted your own self. You trusted them demons that was talking to you. Hello? Maybe y'all didn't come the same way I did. Some of y'all just looking at me kind of strange. Usually the devil looks at you kind of strange. Right. You'll get that in a minute too. The gospel of your salvation. How many times did Brother Brown say, oh, I wish you could see the faces of the people now? What? It was those demons rising up out of those people. It wasn't that he was just discerning this little black thing sitting on their shoulder. He saw their reaction to what he was talking about. Right. But look, in whom the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Listen, down payment down here, then you've got seven payments you got to make. Seven payments, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is where I was getting to right here. Watch, can you believe this? And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. See, not look at, understand. Like I said, we become aliens then. Again, we become aliens of this world. We're aliens away from God without the new birth. Then we become aliens of the world because we don't have anything to do with them. What is, in all the movies that you see, aliens come from another planet. We can't understand them. They look different. Praise God! Amen. At least I'm not green. But we do look different. We act different. There's a purity about the bride that the world don't even see. That the world looks at us and goes, you wear what? You don't wear what? You don't have a TV? You do what on Sunday? Two services? Oh my word! I had a girl in my dentist office. She said, I'm leaving my church. I said, what you leaving church for? That preacher preached over 15 minutes, and I ain't going to stand for it. Well, my righteous indignation got up a little bit during that time. They were working on my teeth, but I told Amy, I said, get that stuff out of my mouth. I'm fixing to tell her something. I said, I looked at her, and I said, lady, I said, if Jesus Christ can die on a cross and hang on that cross for 3 hours for my sin, I can go to church and listen to God, what he's got to tell me. Amen. 15 minutes won't get it done. Amen. And I told her about that voice right there. Then Amy stuck that thing back in my mouth. That just gets me stirred up when people go, well, I want to be a Christian, but now 15 minutes is that? Grief. I did. I said, lady, if he hung there with nails and stripes, naked in front of the world, for 3 hours he hung there. I said, can't we sit and listen to the word of God for that amount of time? It never even fazed her. She just, you know what? There was nothing there. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll finish right here. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but you'll see me. Because I live, you shall live also. What? We're going to see the alien. Because God is an alien to this world. There ain't no doubt. At that day. Hold on a minute. At that day, what? You shall know that I am in my Father. And ye in me. And I in you. That's impossible to draw a picture of that. But in my mind, I can see that. There stood God, there stood Father, there stood Jesus, there stood the Holy Ghost. And when I connect to that, I'm standing inside that too. We can't lose. 1 Corinthians 3 says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as carnal, even as to babes in Christ. It's okay to be a baby. It's not okay to stay a baby. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you able. Now, he's in Corinth. We know how they were. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, division, and ye are not carnal and walk as, are you not carnal and walk as men? 1 Peter 2 verse 1 says, therefore laying aside all malice, all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes. We got to start as a baby. And when you become a baby, you are a little bit legalist. You're in the do's. You're still in that spirit of do's and don'ts. All right. You look at people and you go, then you have to put some grace salve on it. Because without the grace salve, you start running people off. You know, I told Brother Daddy many, many times, I said, how you put up with these people? He said, they pay the bills. As newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. He's not talking about y'all. We were talking about later on a long time. I mean to explain that. He was talking a long time ago. This was 20 years ago. This is not today. So some of you are still here from 20 years ago. Anyway, can you forget what I just said? Brother Joe, take that piece off of the internet. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, the air just went right out of the building. John 14, verse 25 said, these things have I spoken unto you, yet being what present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Hallelujah. And bring all things to your remembrance. What? Revelation? Whatsoever I have said unto you. Now the Greek lexicon tells that's Paracletus. That's Comforter, Advocate, one who pleads your case before a judge. He's a counsel for a defense. He's a legal assistant. He's an advocate. We can't lose. We go in a courtroom and the guy that's every piece of the judicial system is one man. And he's our daddy. One who pleads another's cause with one, an intercessor. So of Christ in his exaltation at God's right hand, pleading with God the Father for the pardon of our sins. Let's continue on down. I want to get to something. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Now watch. That's why that as we were talking when we first started, there is a teaching in the message that you've got to get all these virtues before you get the Holy Spirit because you see it up there at the top. That's totally untrue. That's right. Totally untrue. You can't have these virtues and not be born again. Because that's the virtue of God. That's not the virtue of man. That's not something that your mom and daddy gave you, the genetics of your mom and daddy. That's the genetics of God. Amen. So look, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Only way. Now let's get this real quick. Second Peter, here's Peter again. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Look, to them that have obtained. Now, he hasn't started in the virtues yet. Everybody with me? He hadn't started in the virtues yet. He said, those that have obtained like precious faith with us. All right? So if Peter had this kind of faith, my finger. Because on the day of Pentecost, I believe he got born again. And he said, we've got to have that like precious faith. So we've got to be born again before we can get these virtues. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of the God and of Jesus our Lord. Look, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto what? Life and godliness. Amen. These virtues will teach you how to raise your kids. Yes, teach you how to... Amen. Oh, okay, well, I was going to say something about the boss, but it'll make you love your boss. And people are groaning. You can love him and not like him. Let's get on to this. According to his divine power hath given unto what? Us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us what? Exceeding great and precious promises. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. There's only one divine nature. Amen. And that's the nature of Almighty God. Amen. Everything else is filthy rags. Absolutely. Amen? But you can have that, though, by vulcanizing that together. Kill that old nature and let God have control. You have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Look, and beside this. So this is one thing. And beside this, besides verse 1 through 4. And besides this, giving all diligence, add. Add. Add to your faith. Listen, faith's not an ad. Face the birth. It doesn't say add this to you. It doesn't say. No, it says add to your faith. Amen. So there's seven adds, right? Amen. We've been taught this before. Seven adds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's seven adds. Face not an ad. Face the birth. Amen. And beside this, giving all diligence, add. Amen. Everybody with me? Now let's look for just one second. We'll start on this afternoon. Let's go to Numbers 34, verse 13. It says, and Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, this is the land which you shall inherit by lot. Now look, this is Moses talking to the children of Israel. Now who placed them in the land, though? Joshua placed them in the land. Is that all right? But Moses was the man of the hour to get them there. Everybody with me? Everybody see the allegory. Everybody see the parable that we're fixing to start here. Moses didn't get them in the promised land. He got them to the promised land. He gave them the laws. He gave them the commandments. He told them how to do this and how to do that. But Joshua was the one commissioned to take them in. And Brother Brown said, positionally place them in the land. Everybody with me? All right. This is the land which you shall inherit by lot, which the Lord commanded to give you unto the nine tribes and half tribe. Now remember, I'm going to slow down just for a second. There's 12 tribes of Israel, right? For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. The two tribes and a half have received their inheritance on this side Jordan. So if you're looking at a map, we'll look at it if you'll bring that map up. Near Jericho, eastward toward the sunrise. So under Moses, there was 12 tribes of Israel, and they're going to bring it up here in just a second. And this is a beautiful story. Everybody see that? Yeah. All right, hold it right there. No, we're going to have to. Whoa, can you see that? Yeah. This is all the 12 tribes. Now listen, they're over here. This is the Jordan River. This is the Dead Sea, and that's the Jordan River. Is everybody with me? Say amen. Amen. Sea of Galilee, Jordan River. Everybody with me? This is the promised land. This over here is where they're coming out of the what? They're coming out of the wilderness of sin. They're coming out of sanctification. Everybody with me just for a minute, and then we'll close. All right? Reuben and Gad are cattlemen. Cattlemen. A lot of grass over here, so they say, well, look, what we're going to do is, Moses, to make this short, what are we going to do, Moses, is if you don't mind, we would like to have this possession because of the cattle. But what we're going to do is we're going to go over Jordan and we're going to help them fight to get their position. Everybody with me? All right? Can y'all see that? I'm talking about these over here. Okay. So Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh. Why half tribe? Why not a full tribe? Because watch what happens. They all go over and fight, and then they come back. This is their possession. Justification. Who's Reuben? Reuben's the firstborn. Justification. Got to start somewhere. Sanctification. I'm trying to hurry up. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what does the baptism of the Holy Ghost do? It's got to continue over into the promised land to get your other half tribe. Everybody with me? Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because look, you say, oh, brother, wait, that's the promised land. No, you're not placed. Remember, the Holy Ghost is different from the position. The Holy Ghost is different from adoption. This is the Holy Ghost. This is adoption. Everybody with me over here? This is adoption. This is the placing of every one of them gets a certain spot. But Reuben and Gad and half tribe of Manasseh said, we're going to go over there and help you fight. We're going to send the Holy Ghost over there to fight. Because without the Holy Ghost, you can't fight anyway. So they're going to go over there and fight, but they're going to come back here showing that the church ages, sure, they were in a promised land of their own, but they never were in adoption. They never were placed. Amen? This is your life. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can stay here if you want to. But the Holy Ghost is over here compelling you to come on across. Because there's a man named Joshua over here that's going to positionally place you where you need to go on that side of Jordan. On the east side of Jordan. That's where the virtues must be in you. Let's read this right here. The virtues must be in us. Watch this. Then when we get true virtue, we can add it to our faith. That's the next foundation wall. Now first you must have faith. Faith alone won't do it. Oh, but I got, brother, wait, I got faith. Yeah, you got faith. You're right. You got baby faith. But you still need a mom and a daddy. You still need to take the test to get to drive the car. Faith alone. Everybody still believe Brother Brown was a prophet? I hope y'all didn't leave and come back. All right. Faith alone won't do it. You've got to what? Add virtue to your faith. You must have virtue in order to add it to your faith. Amen. Now we're going to get started at not this afternoon. We'll get started on something else. But that I just wanted to give you a little snippet of that we're going to get to. But I love that with the justification, justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost. That takes you into the promised land. Without these three, you can't get in. It's a connection. That's why the half tribe stayed out here and the half tribe was over here. They were connected to each other. But remember, they went over and helped them fight, but then they came back and settled. And we'll read it this afternoon where Brother Brown talks about the church ages. They were under revelation of the Son of God, not the Son of Man. They didn't come to adoption. They were not even under the mandate to come to adoption. Remember what I said, what Brother Brown said? He said they had just enough of the Holy Ghost to get saved. Heal the sick, they can raise the dead, do all these things, but furtherment of the word is what we're talking about from now on. The word is right here. Listen, these are all the children of Israel. They had to be the children of Israel to even get any land. So you got to get born again to even get in line to get any land. But this is not all the land we want. Everybody else wanted some more. They went on across Jordan. They died to themselves. Let's stand to our feet. Musicians don't have to come. Let's just sing a little chorus or something. And then we'll be dismissed. But we got to come to a place to where we want to go across. Even the ones that got... And anyone, Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh, they wanted to go across and help their brothers. Because that was the strength that came across. The strength of the new birth will take you across. But it's not going to give you everything in the land. You got to fight for every inch of these virtues. You got to fight for everything you need. You got to fight every day you wake up. And every day, every night you go to bed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Can you say that? Even those tribes that were on this side, Gad and Reuben, they realized there was green grass there and they had to grow cattle. And that's why they took that side. Moses said, but now you got to go over there and help them fight, though. That's what Brother Brown was talking about. He was talking about the Pentecostals and all the different ones. Okay, you got the Holy Ghost. What are you going to do about it? He kept compelling the Pentecostals. Pentecostals, yeah, we got the new birth. Yeah, we're just going to lay down right here and cabbage down on this, and this is it. Speaking in tongues is it. But it doesn't matter how we live. We cannot. Don't have to have any virtue. We don't have to have any knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. They probably preached on it, but you know what? They had nobody to take them there. You and I have somebody to take us there. We have a Moses that brought a message, but what? As I was with Moses, Joshua, as I was with the prophet William Branham, people, bride, I will be with you. And I'm going to place you in the promised land by the Holy Ghost through a fivefold ministry that will take you into the promised land if you'll let them do that. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for this service. We pray, Lord, that something's been said, Lord, that'll help the people through their journey, Lord. We got to cross old Chile Jordan to get to the other side. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, no one will drown. Lord, I pray no one will be left behind. I pray that all of us make it, Lord. And I pray that you'll be with us now, Lord, as we go eat a natural meal and come back this afternoon, Lord, and speak about you a little bit more. Thank you for the people, Lord. Thank you for the ones that are here, Lord, that consider this their church. Lord, without them, we'd just be doors and windows and chairs. But this is a live ministry. And it's in the people, not just one person. The prophet of God said, we're not an organization, but we are an organism. We have different parts doing different things. And I appreciate those, Lord. All the effort that everybody's given the past few days, few weeks, Lord. I pray that you'd be with us now as we leave, Lord. I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord. May the revelation continue as we come back together, Lord, in a couple of hours. May you be with your people, Lord. If there's any here today that are sick, you said you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. So if anyone has a need, Lord, I pray that you would minister to them right now. We've seen it several times in the ministry here. That people were healed sitting in their seats just believing the word of God that was spoke. Father, thank you for the visitors that are with us. Brother John, Sister Edie, they're not visitors anymore. They're just part of us. They're just at a different family reunion today. And I pray, Lord, that we'll bind together closer to you, Father, and that you'll bless us, Lord. Take care of us. Be with us as we go eat a natural meal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. I am blessed. I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed when I wake up in the morning.